Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says this: "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, or shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Father, we love you this morning. God, we're thankful, God, for your blessings. God, we're thankful for your grace. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your long suffering to us. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word for just a little while. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand it. God, I pray that you'd give us liberty to preach today. Help us to preach it with power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, Father, that if it be one here lost today, that you would save them today, one here out of your will. God, may you bring them back close to you once again. And God, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Another passage that I thought about for homecoming, and even in reading this, my mind still goes there, is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ?" We all know that he came to earth and that he bled and died, that he rose again one third in glorious morning. But then he stuck around 40 days and ascended back into the heavens. I thought about that homecoming that day when Jesus, that had been gone for 33 and a half years, walked back out onto the streets of gold in heaven. Man, don't you know it was a homecoming in heaven when the Father and the Son was reunited together. But my mind just kept coming back to this after my aunt's homegoing service. And I began to think about this passage of Scripture, and I've read it every day since then and just chewed on it, if you know what I'm saying about that. And last night I began writing a few things down. Whenever we come to this, it is dealing with the coming of the Lord. It's dealing with the rapture of the church. It's dealing with the revelation, the return of Christ. And as we begin to think about it and we begin to look at this today, we could take time and walk through the book of Matthew. We could go to the book of Revelation. We could go to the book of Daniel. And there's one thing that is for certain today, and that is the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, I'll say this to you today. I believe that we're so close to the coming of the Lord that he could come back before we're even done with the service today. Man, you look at what's going on in our country today, and can I just say this to you? I still love America. Let me just back up and say that again. I still love America. If you can't say amen to that, maybe you need to go overseas and live somewhere. Amen. I still love America. I do not love what America's become, but I do love America. You look at our country today, man, our country is in a mess. Now you can say amen to that right there. Our country is in a mess. And I'm not going to be political this morning, but I will say this. They said that this new guy that is our president now was going to fix everything. Boy, it's really going good. I don't know about anybody else. I could stand a mean tweet and low gas prices again. lumber's going out the roof. I was talking to Colt yesterday, Colt Simmons, a while, and our country's in a mess. They're killing babies by the thousand every day. What used to be wrong is right, and what used to be right is wrong. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, it's homecoming. Stay with me. We're going to go home in just a minute. But our country's in a mess today. But I still love America. I'd still rather live here than any other place there is in the world. But our country's in a mess. All of that, when you study this book right here, you'll find out that all of that is lining up for what is known as the rapture of the church. It's all part of Bible prophecy. And can I say something to you today? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just going to be real honest with you. It's probably not going to get much better. It's just part of the Bible proving itself true. But here is the good thing. If you'll study in the city or in the land of Egypt, God had a way out for the children of Israel. Amen. And can I say something to you and I today? The Lord has a way out for you and I. Can I say this to you? Before judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, what did God do? He allowed those people to get out. I understand Lot's wife looked back and turned a pillar of salt, but that was her own fault. God provided an exodus out of that land before judgment fell. And can I say to you and I today, I believe in all of my heart the God of heaven will provide a way out for you and I in the rapture of the church. When we come to Thessalonians, he's dealing with that. Let me show you just two or three things about this homecoming when we get to heaven. Now, this first one, you that knows me and knows the way I outline, I like everything alliterated. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means that every word starts with the same letter. So for 2 days, I've tried to find an R for this word because all my other words are R's and I couldn't. And I looked at Miss Leslie last night and she said, you're not going to find no R for that word. And I said, well, I appreciate the encouragement, baby. But Brother Brian, I didn't find an R for this word. So the first one's a D and then the rest will be ours, okay? Watch what your Bible said. Verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend. Number one, I see a dissension in these verses. I see a dissension. You say, preacher, what do you say? The Bible said this, the Lord himself shall descend. The Lord himself shall descend. I got to thinking about that and I got to looking at that and I got to studying on it, and here's what I thought about. There's times that we go back to see mom and dad now. And we'll, if they're up here, we'll go to the cabin and see them. If they're home, we'll go to their house and see them. And there's times that we'll go see Leslie's mom and daddy. We're going back home. She's going back home whenever we do that. And it never fails, isn't it? We have to text them when we're on our way. We're on our way. And it never fails whenever we turn in their driveway, the door flies open and her mama comes running out like a 16-year-old teenage girl giggling. And then in about 2 minutes, her daddy will come out. He's not as fast as her mama anymore, and he's getting feeble, but he'll make his way out, and they've got a big smile on their face, and man, they'll hug us and kiss all over the grandbabies. I don't let them kiss on me, but kiss all over the grandbabies. You know what they done? They come out of their house to welcome us in to their house. Whenever I read this and got to thinking about it, the Bible said this, the Lord himself
himself a shout of sin. Can I say something to you today? When it comes time for me to go to my eternal home, I sure am thankful that the Lord himself shout of sin. I thought about this. You go over there to Luke chapter number 19 or Luke chapter number 16. Again, reading in verse number 19, it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And you know, the rich man dies and goes to hell, and Lazarus dies and goes to heaven. But the Bible said this, that the angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. I remember my grandpa Barker. The night before he went home to be with the Lord, my cousin Dale was staying with him that night, and the rest of us had left and come home to get a little rest, and we went back, and whenever we got back, here's what Dale said. He looked at me and he said, "Cuz," he said, "Papa was laying there last night, and all of a sudden he opened his eyes and looked over at me and said, 'Hey Dale, do you see that crowd right there?' And Dale said, 'No, Papa, what is it?' He said, 'Oh, Dale, there's a great big crowd right there waiting on me.'" You say, what was it? I believe it was the angels of glory, and it might have even been God himself that was coming to escort him back into his eternal home. Just like my mom and dad will meet me outside, or my mother-in-law and father-in-law will meet me outside. I'm glad the Lord will come back to get us one day, the Lord himself. I've heard many people say, "Well, Gabriel's going to be the one." Number one, take your Bible and prove that to me. Number one, look up Gabriel in your Bible. And then prove it to me that he's coming. I dare say you're not going to do it. Okay, I don't know a whole lot, but I heard an old timer say this one, what I know, I know. And what I do know is I can take my Bible and right now, honey, and prove to you who is going to be the welcoming committee when I make it home. It's the Lord himself. Amen. The Lord himself. I see a dissension this morning. But now watch this. Now we'll move on to the R's, okay? Look what the Bible said, the Lord himself shall descend with the shouting of the voice of the archangel. With the voice, the voice of the archangel. Amen. Now look what your Bible said. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I see a dissension, but I see a resurrection. I see a resurrection. I was standing in that cemetery, and I can't talk about it much because I'll start crying, and I don't like to cry. But I was standing in that cemetery on Thursday. We left from the church, and I told Leslie, I said, "I'm not going in the funeral procession." I said, "I'm getting ahead of it and getting my truck pointed out at the end of the cemetery so I don't have to sit there for 3 hours. I know the way my family is." So we went ahead, and we was the first one there, and I parked all the way up at the end, then walked all the way back across that great big cemetery. And I got back over there and I stood at Jamie and Leanne's tombstone for a minute. And I told Victoria, Olivia and Madeline had been there. And I told Victoria, I said, "This is where my brother and sister's buried at." And I said, "Here's Pa and here's Granny and here's Larry." And I said, "Here's where Mom and Dad will be put at one day. And here's where we're going to bury Alice at. Here's Alice's little baby that died." And we stood that day and we planted, we didn't bury, we planted my aunt. You see, there's a big difference in burying something and planting something. Are you with me? There's been a few times in my life that I've had to bury some old dogs that I had. I buried them. But there's been a lot of times, especially since I've been pastoring, that I've walked to a cemetery somewhere and planted some things. You see, Leslie went down there in that little raised bed a few weeks ago and took some seeds, and she didn't bury them, she planted them. You see, if she'd have buried them, There was no hope in them. There was no hope in them ever coming back up. But you know what she done? She planted them. You want me to tell you the reason why? She had a hope that they would come back up one day. Oh yeah, good neighbor. You know what we done with my aunt the other day? We planted her in the ground. You want me to tell you the reason why? There's coming a day when the Lord Himself shall descend with the shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall what? They shall rise. There'll be a resurrection one day. There'll be a resurrection. I remember one time I studied a coffin, and one thing that you find interesting about a coffin is that it's the same word when you study it all the way back as hope chest. I remember whenever Leslie and I got married. Well, I'll take it back even further than that. I remember when I was just a wee little boy. There was a guy that went to Turner's Creek. His name was Hubert Allen. And he called Daddy one day and he said, I've got some cedar trees I'm going to cut. And Daddy said, Daddy used to do tree work. Told him, he said, I'll come help you cut them. He said, but I'd like to have the lumber out of it. And he said, all right then, well, we'll do that. And then Brother Hubert Allen worked with wood, and here's what Daddy told him. He said, I want you to help me build a hope chest out of that cedar. I remember we would go over there and Daddy and Hubert would work on that tank, and they got done and it was just a box that smelled good. And I thought, what in the world has Daddy, it was pretty out of that cedar lumber, Brother Lloyd. I thought, what in the world has Daddy got this hope chest built for? I guess Mama wanted it. And I remember my sister, he gave that hope chest to my sister. And he told her, he said, you need to put things in this. He said, one day you'll get married and you need to start saving things and putting in this hope chest. And I remember my sister did that. She started putting things in that hope chest. And whenever she got married, she opened it up. And there was already dishes in there. There was all kind of things in there that she was going to bring back out and put to use one day. You know what a coffin is? Whenever you study it out, that's what it is. That's where the word comes from. It is a hope chest. And can I say this to you? Along the way, every once in a while, we have to plant people that we love. We don't lose them. If they're saved, we know where they're at. But what do? We go to the funeral home. We get them a hope chest. We put them in the hope chest. Then we what? We plant them because there's something in that that's going to be brought back to use one day. There'll be a resurrection. Oh, we've not lost our loved ones. Miss Tina posted a picture this week. I don't know if she posted it or not. I know she sent it to me. And it was a picture of me and her and Brittany and her daddy the Sunday afternoon. That was his last Sunday he came to church. We sat around and sang that Sunday afternoon. And then he come that Sunday night. And it was his last service. And we sung that Sunday night together. And you know what? Not long after that, we went and got him a hope chest. We went and got him a hope chest. And you know what we done? We put him in that hope chest. And you know what we done right up here on the hill? We planted him right up here on the hill. And it's not going to be long. The Lord's coming back. There's going to be a resurrection. That family, I'm talking about a homecoming. I'm talking about that family member that you planted. The family member that you know that was saved. Or you put them in a hope chest and you planted them. There's going to be a resurrection one day. But watch this. I see there's a dissension. I see there's a resurrection. But then know what the Bible said in verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, watch these next two words, caught up together with them in the clouds. Caught up. Whenever you study that called up right there out, and you study this word right here out, rapture. Rapture. You know what that word rapture means? It means caught up. It means caught up. So I see this. There's going to be a dissension. The Lord's going to come back. As the Lord comes back, there's going to be a resurrection. Those that are in the cemetery that has been planted is going to be caught up with him. There's going to be a resurrection. But then watch this. There's going to be a rapture. The Bible said this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, I've tried to think about this. I really have. I thought about this. Why did he get those in the ground first? Because that's what he says right there. Here's the only conclusion I can come to. They're 6 foot further away than we was. Had to have a head start. That's the only thing I can think about. And they needed a head start. So he gave them a head start. Because the Bible says this, they were going to meet together in the clouds. Yeah. So they had to have a head start. And when they pass us, guess what? We hooking up with them. Yeah. And we're going to meet the Lord. Yeah. The rapture of the church. There's going to be a rapture that takes place. One person said this, well, preacher, did we take an offering? I said, I'm sorry, y'all. That's an ADD moment. Brother Brian, I'm sorry, but there wasn't no money in that offering plate. And I thought, man, we just spent $1,000 on barbecue. We need some money today. Blake's got it. Well, I hope he gives it back to the church. But anyway, think about this. I thought about this. And I've had this, preacher, are we going to know each other in the air? Well, I would say this. Number one, do you think we're going to be dumber when we get to heaven than we are here? But number two, I would say this. Everybody all right this morning? Number two, I'd say this. That's all going to happen in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And the, look up in here. Do this. Now do it like you'd regular do it, because all y'all done just like I did, you went. That was like 3 seconds, okay? Just like you'd regular do it. Just think about it. Quicker than you can blink your eye, the rapture is going to take place. You say, well, preacher, you know what? Some believes this. And this kindly run rampant up in the hills of Wilkes County years ago. Some believes that a trumpet's going to sound and only the saved people's going to hear it. And they're driving a car. They're going to stop. They're going to get over on the side of the road. They're going to get out of their vehicle. Then they're going to stand beside the vehicle, and then we're going to leave. That's not what the Bible said. They don't say nothing about that. It says in the moment of the twinkling of the eye, we'll be changed. That's what it says. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. If that happens in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, we're not going to have time to say, well, Christy, what do you think about this plane air ride? I've took a lot of airplane rides, but I'm fixing to take a plane air ride. Christy, your hair is hair blown. It's not that fast. That fast. And you know what's going to happen? The rapture of the church is going to take place that fast. That fast. Member of the Lord was gomming around Friday, and he said, man, Arthur's killing me today. I thought, yeah, that's what happens when you get as old as you are. Said, Arthur's killing me today. I said, yeah. I said, mine's bothering me a little bit. I take a shot every 2 weeks for arthritis, so I can't pick on nobody much. I said, mine's bothering me a little bit. I said, I wonder, and I didn't know what the weather was going. I said, I wonder if a cold front ain't moving in, and sure enough, here we are. But you just think about this. That fast, the rapture of the church takes place. Arthur is gone. Arthur's not going to heaven. Arthritis. Now, you might know somebody's got a different last name than Ritus. And he may be there, but arthritis is not going to heaven. Arthritis is gone. I thought about yesterday, Brother Mac. Me and Madeline was gomming around, and we stopped and talked to Ricky a long time. And I thought about everything that he's been through, Brother Mac's brother, and practically losing his eyesight and not being able to do like he once did at such a young age. And I thought, as I started up the road, I thought, you know what? Just that fast, all of a sudden he's going to see better than he... Oh, yes, he's going to see better than he's ever saw before, man. No more arthritis, no more disease, no more farewells, no more goodbyes, no more hospice homes, no more hospitals. The rapture. Boy, what a homecoming. What a homecoming. I see a dissension. I see a resurrection. I see a rapture, but watch this. Look in verse number 17 again. The Bible said this, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. To meet who? The Lord. I thought about this when I thought about this homecoming. I thought about that dissension. The Lord's coming to get us. Ain't nobody else. The Lord's coming. He thinks so much of me, he's coming to get me. Amen. He thinks so much of me, he's coming to get me. I thought about that resurrection. I thought about that rapture. But then I thought about this. What a reunion. What a reunion. I remember, 25 years ago, I walked into the little old trailer that my aunt was living in when she passed away last Sunday. And my uncle Larry was living there at the time. I walked in, my grandpa, my pa and granny were still living just a little old bitty single wide. They never had hardly anything, my pa and granny Barker did. Just a little old bitty single wide, and it had a little addition built off the back of it that was about to fall in. And pa had an old pot belly stove in that thing, and we was all talking about it Thursday at that funeral. He'd build a fire in there whenever it was Christmas time, and honey, you could roast marshmallows in the bathroom of it. And the fire was plumb in the little addition. It'd be 90 degrees in there. And I remember I walked in that little trailer my Uncle Larry lived in, and we got to talking. Matter of fact, that day, he gave me a Browning Gaybolt Stainless Stalker 300 Winchester Magnum. I still got it today. There ain't no money that could buy it. He gave me that gun, and we was talking back and forth, and here's what he said. He was getting worse as far as physically. Here's what he said. He said, you know what, Jonathan? He said, my faith is just about to end. And I looked at him. I said, well, Uncle Larry, man, there ain't no need in giving up. The Lord's brought us this far. He said, oh, I'm not giving up. He said, my faith's about to end though. And I said, well, what do you mean your faith's about to end? Here's what he said. He said, when you see something, it's no longer faith. And I said, well, explain yourself. He said, for years and years and years and years, he said, I've saw the Lord through the eye of faith. He said, listen to me, son. My faith is about to end. He said, when I look on him face to face, when I behold him around the throne of God, he said, it'll no longer be faith. It'll be reality. You know what he was saying? Here's what he was saying. There's fixing to be a reunion. There's fixing to be You know what homecoming is? It's a family reunion. You know what happens when we go back to Leslie's mom and daddy's for Christmas? It's a family reunion. You know what happens when we go back to my mom and daddy's? It's a family reunion. And can I say something to you today? Aren't you thankful there's fixing to be a family reunion like we've never been to? There's fixing to be a homecoming like we've never been to before. There's going to be a reunion. I thought about this, and I'm about done. I can't see. There's nothing on that hand. I got one in my pocket though. I just thought about that. Boy, ain't that pretty? And it's quit because it says 5 minutes after 11. It's 20 minutes to it. She didn't take but just a second. Lord bless this emptiness this morning. Let me give you this. I don't even know what I was going to say. Here's what I was going to say. It's going to be great to see your family. It really is. It really is. I can't wait to see Jamie and Leanne. That's my brother and sister. And I had a cousin named David that got killed by a drunk driver, him and Pam. That was his wife. They got hit head on by a drunk driver years ago in 1987. And I can't wait to see them again. And both sets of my grandparents has went on, both sets of Leslie's grand. All that's going to be great. All of those had the testimony of being saved. Alice that just went home to be with the Lord had the testimony of being saved. It's going to be really good. And I know, man, the past few days it's just been really tough, because when you bury your parents' parents, and then you start burying your parents' older siblings, and then you bury their younger siblings, and then you bury their twin, kind of hits home about some things. Me and my daddy's close, man. Besides my wife, he's my best friend. And I know that if the Lord doesn't come back, and if I don't go before He does, I know there's going to be a day that I'm going to have to go back to that cemetery. I understand that. But boy, aren't you glad that that's not the end of this thing. Aren't you glad that's not the end? I thought this morning, as I look back over 14 homecomings. Last year's homecoming was different, but besides that one, I look back over the 14 homecomings that we've had here. And I thought about different ones, Brother Robert. First one that came to my mind was Miss Myra. And boy, I miss Miss Myra. And I'm not going to start calling names because I know I'll forget some. But I thought about Brady. He always sat right there. Matter of fact, yesterday there was a memory came up in my time shop. Nicole, I sent it to Nicole and she ended up posting it. But there was a memory came up, and the first Sunday after Brady passed away, we had his Bible and a name tag for Brady sitting right there where he always sat. But you know what? I'm glad that's not the end of this thing. I'm glad that's not the end of it. Some of you sitting here today, if the Lord don't come back, I'll probably have to stand over your coffin one day, your hope chest one day, and say a few words about your life. But I sure am glad. There's people in this room that's closer to me than my own family is, pretty much. There's people in this room that is my family. We are family. I sure am glad that if I go before you or if you go before me, that's not the end of this thing. That's not the end. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Here's what he said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with to meet them in the clouds, or to meet them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a reunion one day. What a reunion one day. What a reunion one day. Come start playing softly. Go back to verse 13. They teach you not to do this in homiletics and hermeneutics, but go back to verse 13. The Bible said this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We're not those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know what he said? We don't have to suffer as those that have no hope. That's the lost man. The lost man has no hope of a great reunion. Oh, but us that saved. Look at the very last verse. Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I see this in closing. There's a reassurance. He leaves us with a reassurance. You know what he says? Here's what he says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What is the comfort? The comfort is this. The comfort is this. There's hope beyond this life. There's hope beyond the grave. There's hope this morning. I hear people talk sometimes. They say things like this.
I just hate my life. And I think in the backside of my mind, well, I sure am sorry, honey. I don't hate my life. Some of you will laugh right here, but every time I hear somebody think about that, I think about Nacho. If y'all ever seen the movie Nacho Libre, he said, my life is good. It's really good. And that's really what I think about, because Brother Brian, my life is good. I don't want to end life. I'm excited about the Lord coming. I am. And it is a comfort to me to know that the Lord's coming back. It is a comfort today to know that we'll live together in heaven one day. If we're saved, that is a comfort. But can I say this? It'd be all right with me if he waits a day or two. Now you can write me off if you want to, but I enjoy doing life. I enjoy living life. Man, God's good to me. God's blessed me. God's abundantly poured his blessings out on me. The Bible said that God would even give you the desires of your heart. And I was even reminded of that this week. Olivia's had some things she's been wanting to do. And man, the door just opened wide open this week for that. And tomorrow we're going to start working on some of that. And when we get down there, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to read that verse to her and say, look, if you'll love the Lord and if you'll follow God, if you'll be faithful to God, God will open doors for you, honey. I love life. But if my life ends today, hey, look, I see you over yonder. If you're saved, you ain't going to get away from me for long. We'll live together forever. What a reunion. And he gives us a reassurance. He said, we can be comforted today. Do we mourn the loss of someone? Sure. 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 But at the same time, we can have a deep, settled peace that we have a blessed hope of seeing them again one day. What a homecoming when we gather around the throne of God. And we see he who loved us so much. He was willing to die so we could live. He's the one coming back to get us. What a homecoming.